of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it's the Word of God. Jesus became the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. So we thank you for the power of the gospel. Lord, I ask you would help me to communicate this morning, Lord, what you would have me to say. And I thank you for open hearts. They're always growing in you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that those that don't know you this morning will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Lord, they would come to know the love of God. Those that are struggling, Lord, I pray today that you would encourage people in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter. So, Lord, we declare and speak today that you would comfort your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen and amen. So as I prepared for, as I was preparing for this, it was actually when we were at that fresh fire camp meeting that was so enjoyable. And so the Lord will often, when at time, when the Lord will start speaking to me about a message, it'll just come in maybe a scripture or a thought. And so as I was at that camp meeting, I read Psalms 1, Psalms chapter 1, Psalms chapter 1. And so I just kind of, the first verse. And so that was something that Lord just kind of kept, put it in my heart. I just started mulling on it. And then I thought, you know, then I started, you know, thinking about other things. But the Lord kept pulling me back to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. And so what I'm going to endeavor to speak about today is Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, amen. And so the Word of God, the power of God, this is the first psalm. And what I love to see about Psalms chapter 1, I'm gonna have it in the King James Version, because when I memorized Psalms chapter 1 so many years ago, it was only in the King James. So now I can't even read this Psalms without reading it in the King James. So can I just read this and then we'll go through it? Amen. So Psalms chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." We all want to, as I read this, I want to say we all want to see blessing in our lives. Amen? We all want to walk in his strength and his blessing. See, I want to say this morning, I believe in God's miracles. God does miracles. But did you know that God doesn't want us living just in miracles? He wants us walking in his blessing. See, if I run out of gas and I pray and God supernaturally my car runs for a week, and then say that's a miracle, and then it runs out of gas again, and then I need his miracle power for gas again, like, Lord, just gasoline shows up in my gas tank. We know that can happen, right? But I know God doesn't want me living from week to week as a miracle for gasoline. He wants to provide for me so that I can actually pay for gasoline. I love the miracles of God, but I'm telling you, miracles is not what God wants us to live in all the time. Manna was a miracle from heaven because they were in the desert for 40 years. But when they went into the promised land, they started learning about sowing and reaping. They did not have to have manna anymore. They didn't have to have a miracle. They actually started walking in the blessing of God in their lives so they would not have to go from miracle to miracle. So we want miracles. So God, if you need healing, God wants to heal you. That's a miracle. That's a gift of healing. But the blessing of God would say, I'm going to walk in health, in his health, have a healthy body. Amen? Nothing wrong with miracles. We all need him in our life. We all need miracles. But I want to be a person that walks in his blessing. How about you? Miracle. I'm not downcasting miracles at all. But I don't want to be a person that spends a lifetime bragging about his miracles in every crisis of my life. I want him for the crises. But I want to say, God, look at all his blessings. The blessings from day to day in my life. His provision. That is what I want to walk in. How about you? So we all want to see blessings in our lives, our families, our health. But I just thought, but I don't want to be a church that just focuses on miracles. Our society needs a miracle because it needs a miracle today because of what has been sown for a generation, if not two generations. So this Psalms gives us instruction to blessing in our life. And I'm talking about new covenant blessing. So I'm not going to be given an old covenant blessing. Amen. Because we are under a new covenant through Jesus Christ. Amen. The blessing of Abraham I walk in, or I should be walking in if I believe it. So first, what you know, this psalm starts out by these things, where the blessing does not come from. Notice that. He starts out verse 1 saying, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So A, the counsel, we got to talk about the counsel of the ungodly. So he starts out saying, hey, I'm starting out where the blessing of God does not come from. Counsel of the ungodly. So walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel in the Hebrew means to advise. Advisement, to guide, to consult, to try to help with purpose, devise a plan. So God desires us to walk with him, amen? Do you desire to walk with him? Can I ask you? I believe that. Do you desire to walk with the Lord in your life? Amen? And what that means? So there's a couple sayings that I had found. It says, those who walk with God always reach their destination. That was by Henry Ford. If I walk with the world, I can't walk with God. That's Dwight L. Moody. And the favorite one that I found was from Leonard Ravenhill. Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor. But wise men walk with God. Hallelujah. 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 And we, as we go through this, I want a scripture in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8 says, He has told you, mortal one, we're in flesh right now. We're going to be immortal, amen, when we get our new bodies. You and I are going to live forever, hallelujah, amen. He has told you, mortal one, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? Is that what we, if we need anything in America today is people, is justice. See, our inner cities are where they're at because there's no justice. So there's nothing wrong with justice as men and women of God. We want justice to prevail on this earth. Amen? We want people that are falsely accused, we want justice for them. Amen? And we want those who have to realize that if you're going to harm other people, there's a consequence to pay, and that's called justice. Amen? You can be in the jailhouse or wherever paying for your crime and be born again in love with Jesus. He has forgiven you, but there still needs to be justice on the earth. Amen and amen. And so Micah says, but to do justice, and he says, to love kindness. Isn't the Lord kind to us? Aren't you glad for his loving kindness? His loving kindness is better than life. Father, he's saying, this loving kindness that I have given you, that I have revealed to you, that you're walking in, I want you to show other people my loving kindness. My loving kindness is better than life. I've said it many times that kindness can break the hardness of the sinner's heart. Kindness. People are used to say, oh, you treat me this way, I'll treat you right back. You punch me, I'll punch you right back a little harder. Kindness can break the hardness of anybody's heart. The Lord loves justice on the earth. The Lord loves kindness. And it says, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with the God. For me, humbly walking with my God is, Lord, my wisdom, you've given it to me. Lord, your leadership in my life, you've given it to me. Lord, my salvation, you've given it to me. I didn't earn any of it. Walking humbly with God, knowing that he's leading and guiding you. Amen? He wants to lead and guide you. So God opposes the proud, but gives what? Grace to the humble. Thank you, Lord. Every day saying thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, saying every day, Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. Thank you for giving me good health. Thank you for teaching me how to be a good husband. Thank you for teaching me how to be a good wife. Lord, thank you for teaching me how to be a good father, grandfather. All these things come through a spirit of humility. the flesh doesn't like humility. Not at all. Amen. You ever had times where you need to humble yourself and your flesh says, this is humiliating? And your spirit man saying, trust me, I'm leading you. Trust me, I'm leading you. But the flesh says, I don't like this. This is humiliating. That's walking in the spirit is walking in humility. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. I love what Ephesians 2:10, the next scripture says. For we are his workmanship. Anybody here his workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. Which God prepared beforehand so that we would, what? Walk. There's that word, walking with our God. So knowing when you've come to know the Lord, he gives us desires, amen? Knowing that he's saying, Lord, I want to walk with you. He's going to change desires. He's going to open doors. He's going to bring purpose. Walking with him. The unbeliever says, are you kidding me? That's foolishness. I'll walk according to my wisdom. I'll walk according to my ability. Perhaps I can get to the top of the food chain. Maybe perhaps I'll get this or there. I'll accomplish this. But it's all predicated on you and your wisdom and your ability. But when you're walking with the Lord and pursuing and walking in his ability, then God is able to accomplish through you more than you could ever accomplish on your own. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing to humble ourselves and say, God, lead and guide me. I want to walk with you, walk in your goodness, walk in your grace, share it with other people, and have you accomplish things that I never could do. That's good news, amen? That's what God wants to do in every individual's life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, our walk with God is determined, we're talking about this counsel, by the counsel we receive. Listen, it's important, by the counsel we receive. Remember talking about, blessed is man that walketh not. He's talking about, give a few points of the person that does not walk in his blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not. So our walk with God is determined by the counsel we receive. There are many things that desire to counsel us, is there not? They counsel us even without us knowing. How about commercials? Obey your thirst. Trying to counsel. They're trying to give you counsel, what you should do and not do, what you should pursue and not pursue. Everything you hear marketing-wise is trying to counsel you. It's trying to, by words, the power of words going into your ears, your mind. A seed that can land in the soil of your heart and produce something. It can produce good things, and it can produce things that aren't so good. Amen? The power of words. The power of words. So how about TV shows? It's just an example, TV shows. You know, I notice that most of them now has an agenda, and it's all propaganda. I'm just saying, that's what I notice. Counseling how to walk in the world, counseling how you should walk in this world. What mantras you should take up and pursue. What you should believe, amen? A lot of these things now I notice with TV shows is just not Leave It to Beaver. That's the only one I can think of. Now every TV show I watch is trying to counsel me to what to believe or not to believe, what I should pursue, making fun of Christians, making fun of God, making fun of truth, making fun of righteousness, mocking the Lord Jesus. That's what I notice. There's trying to counsel you and I. Do you agree with that? Do I even need to mention social media platforms? You know, we can get enthralled with social media platforms. It's not just cancel culture through social media. We know about the harm of pornography and smut, but also just all the interesting articles and news that goes on and on and on. Lord, help me with this. I can go on and on and on and become hungry for news and different things that I believe in. It'll just take me away. It'll be like a river taking me away in a direction. Well, I believe this, and it just, here I go to where I know everything about it day after day after day after day after day after day. It becomes something almost like an addiction. I got it. It could be good. Most of the time for us, it's good stuff. but it takes me away. And the mantra is always, this is the truth, truth, truth. And I end up getting upset. I end up thinking in a way that's contrary, maybe right, but contrary to what God wants me to pursue. See, I want to pursue his righteousness. I want to pursue his truth and his love. And I'm not going to get that with an unending appetite for news. Hey, I brought this one up because I'm talking to myself, Lord. Talking to myself, two hands up and three. If I got down on the ground, I could put my two legs up as well. And then when I do that, I can find myself getting a little dry. A little dry. A little bit dry. Because even though those things may be at an angle that it's truth, they do not bring life. Because there's many people watching those same things that you and I watch that are conservative that have zero relationship with Jesus Christ. Zero relationship. They do not know the Savior. It brings no life. It brings no life. I'm not saying it completely wrong, but I'm telling you it brings no life. Is anybody out there can say amen? They agree with that? Or maybe you can at least think about it. Friends. How about friends? We're talking about blessed a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Friends. This is one good for young people. Young people. Friends, we can enter into a type of a struggle or hardship, or we have been wronged by someone, or we think we have been wronged by someone at time, and our friends are our counsel. Not necessarily a bad thing, right? But we got to be careful the counsel we get from other people, because it could just feed into your being wronged or the situation. You can feed into the thing that you're actually trying to have be healed in your heart. You know this one. I don't have to say this one. Show me the people you hang out with. Show me the people you have business partnerships with, and I can show you your future without a doubt. I can show you your future without a doubt. School, you know, I can mention schools counsel us. Careful what we learn, what they teach us in schools. What I'm talking about is, I'm just going down this line. I'll get to some good stuff, but I'm talking about when we read a chapter like, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do we ever stop and say, what's that mean? Or do we just read it and not give it some thought? Not say, what does that mean, Lord? What does that mean? I like what Jesus says, and I don't have the scripture, but talking about Jesus counseling, it's in Revelation chapter 3:18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Gold, you know, the gold is the things that we can find in the Word of God. Things that the Spirit of God revealed to us, amen? There is so much gold for the body of Christ through his Holy Spirit, through his word, for victory in every area in our lives, so that we don't live in a generation where deception runs rampant. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't want deception grabbing at my heels or having a hold of me in any area of my life. How about you? I don't want to walk in anything that would try to deceive me about his goodness, about his grace, about his strength, about his power in my life. See, the counsel we have taken in or take in now determines the success of your walk with God in the future. Let me just say regarding counsel, the most impactful things of who God is has come from revelation by the Holy Spirit to me. But the practical things I have applied to my day-to-day life have come from counsel from others or mentors. I've had three key mentors in my life, one to dealing with addiction, one dealing with business, and one dealing with being in the ministry. And it was funny, is when you're a younger individual that you'd notice that you don't need any counsel. At least I did. Maybe I was by myself. By the time I was 20, and so we need the counsel of godly people. One thing I love about being a part of the Association of Related Ministers International, because we're a church that's independent, I love all the counsel from other pastors and leaders I can glean from. I can't do it on my own. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to be able to save them, glean from them in situations. Amen. So being through Andrew Womack's and doing that, I found that has been invaluable for me today. The counsel of others to help me in different, not just in church life, but even just in my own personal life. We all have struggles. It's good to have somebody that can counsel, somebody that can encourage us and strengthen us with the Word of God, with the goodness of God. I can show you in the Scripture, where Paul submitted his revelation of grace to the other apostles. He had that revelation in Galatians. He says, I took that revelation first to the leaders in Jerusalem. And he said, unless I'd been doing this all in vain. So what he was saying is, if I don't get their right hand of fellowship, I'm not going forward with this. He submitted that to the council of the Jerusalem council, submitting to one another. So that, and they gave him what? They gave him the right hand of fellowship, amen? And they said, go for it, Paul. Said a few other things. But basically, he submitted that to the church there. Amen. You know, betrayal, let me just say this. Betrayal or wounds, it can be by authority or leaders, can cause us to stop receiving counsel. Can I just say that for a minute? I think of a friend that Gene and I had who were absolutely devastated by a leader about 15 years ago. It was a wolf in sheep clothing, is what it was. It was a false teacher. It was a wicked individual who was able to worm himself into a position of high leadership in a church and totally brought damage to a family. And I can't believe that family was able to, well, I can believe it, because I think of it to today. They were able to have the Lord restore them. They were able to get past that and not say, I won't have anything else to do with the church. They were able to recover. They were allowed to allow the Lord to heal that area of their life. And now that family's moving forward. They, matter of fact, they're moving forward like never before. See, they didn't give up and give in. What the enemy had meant for evil, God turned that around and restored their life and brought a healing and a strength to their life that they were able to move forward in the things of God. How they were still able to receive counsel. They were still receive counsel from the Holy Spirit and from others. Amen? See, there are people who have experienced such pain, childhood relationships, marriage, past marriages, parents, church leadership, that meaningful relationships and godly submission to one another isn't even on the table. You know, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing are people who started out very zealous for the Lord or for people, but they became wounded, and that betrayal actually led to deception. That betrayal led to deception because the wound is so deep that they weren't able to recover. First, John the Apostle says, they used to be amongst us, but they did not stay with us. And so such removal. So I'm not saying there that church, you know, that we're to be okay with church abuse. Not at all. What I'm saying is when you've been wounded, that God can heal that thing and we can have meaningful relationships within the house of God. We can have meaningful relationships with one another. We can have meaningful relationships without having those guards up that say never again. Amen. God wants to take the things that have devastated us and heal us and actually use them for his glory. I said he wants to use them for his glory. But so many times that does not happen. It does not happen. You know, the weakness of men, the frailty of men, deceptive men. Amen. Men getting off track, women getting off track. And things that happen like that, but the Lord would say, hey, I want you to walk. I want you to walk in forgiveness. I want you to move past that. And I want you to realize that I still work through my people, the church. I still work through the church in all its frailties and all its weaknesses. I don't understand that God, through Jesus Christ, still works through bodies. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So my thing is this, don't allow those things from the past to hold you back. Don't allow bitter roots. Don't allow wounds that can, they can put rose-colored glasses so we see things through a prism that's not correct. That's not correct. Say, Lord, I want to be healed from that. I want to be made whole, and I want to go on with purpose. I'm telling you, he still works through people. I don't get it. I don't understand it. The creator of all the world, still working through the weak things. Oh, how he loves you and I, how he loves the church of Jesus Christ. Revelations chapter 2 and 3, there's seven letters. It says it's written to the churches. It wasn't to individuals, it was to churches that had great struggles. They had a lot of things that needed to be fixed, but yet Jesus was writing to the churches. Can anybody say hallelujah? How he loves you and I. Amen. Amen. The second one, we have A. So blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. So standeth means to abide, confirm, dwell, establish, endure, ordain, to be established. People go from counsel, from advice, reasoning, your thought process, to your lifestyle. You decide what you believe, and it directs your life. I'm taking my stand on what I believe. How about you? I'm taking my stand on what I believe, or because of what is believed, no stand is taken at all. This is the thing. People take a stand. Those that don't know the Lord even say, I'm taking my stand on what I believe, or because of what is believed, no stand is taken at all. See, it becomes the group of people you identify with now. You go from the council to standing in the way it becomes who they identify with. So it becomes the group of people you identify with. It's who you feel comfortable with. It's the conversations that you have with people that you enjoy or tolerate. It's the lifestyle you now live. It's what you believe politically. It's what you believe morally. It's what you believe subconsciously. It's what you are willing or willing to not die for. See, birds of the feather flock together. Amen? So understanding that goes from counsel to lifestyle. To life. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Amen? But in the power of God. Hallelujah. So it doesn't stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So going, amen, amen. Romans 6:20-21, let's keep going. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in relationship to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then depriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of things is death. When God saves you by his grace and his power, when he sets you free, those things in your life that you used to feel comfortable in, but now it's something, I'm ashamed that I was in that. Not ashamed of like being under shame, but saying, man, I could never do that again. God's brought me out of that. So a godly person goes from receiving godly counsel to their lifestyle growing in the things of God. Amen. On the other end, people who don't pursue God, they have a counsel that they take in with, it becomes their lifestyle and who they are. Amen and amen. Let me read Ephesians 5:8-15. Let me tell you, this is the apostle of grace that wrote this right here. It says, for you were once darkness. Aren't you glad you're not in darkness now? But it says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Man, we're walking. Does that mean we're perfect? Does that mean we always got it together? No. That means that the counsel that we've gotten, the message of gospel, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is now established within our lives. That we've got a new heart and a new mind. Amen. And then our lifestyle, the things that where we stand, where we're standing firm, those that we are around, that surround us, the things that we pursue, start to match up with this gospel that's changing our life. It starts matching up with this gospel that set us free. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. As you try to learn, it says, as you try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Did you know you're always learning about things that please him? I mean, I'm his child. But he's always showing me things that about his character and showing me things that please him and don't please him. He's always revealing that goodness to you and I. We continue to grow. That's the thing. It takes to from if you're from a baby to adulthood is what? You got to be what, 40? Well, I guess they considered 18. You're adult at 18. I say from baby to 40, but that's just my opinion. Looking on the backside now. But you know, as far as being his child and growing in maturity, it's really up to us. Amen. You can be born again, walking with him, walking in his love, and you can decide to stay in absolutely immaturity if you want. It hasn't changed his love for you, hasn't changed your salvation, hasn't changed that you don't belong to him, that you belong to him. But what the Lord would like, what the Lord is wanting from you, saying, hey, through my word, through my spirit, find out what pleases me. Find out what you're doing or not doing that I agree with. Find out those things that are purposeful. Find out those things that bring life to you and others. Let me show you those things that are pleasing to me. Did you know that you can do that without any condemnation? If you know that you already belong to him, then it's much easier to say, Lord, every area belongs to me. Let me grow in you. Let me grow in you. Verse 11, do not participate in the useless deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And then it says this, so then be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise. Lord, we thank you for wisdom in the house today. Thank you for people that are wanting to grow in wisdom, growing in his knowledge, growing in his purpose. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for. Then that goes, so we have, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So it progresses. That person progresses. So what is sitteth? It means to dwell, to marry, to ease self, to tarry. Habitation, it's a place. And scornful means to scoff, interpret, an ambassador or a teacher for something. So this is being established. This is a person, a group of people that without an absolute miracle, they don't have anything in their conscience that has a thought of God. They go from listening to ungodly counsel to living an ungodly lifestyle to scorning, mocking, and coming against God, his son Jesus, and righteousness. That's what we're seeing to a great degree in this nation now. That's the group of people we see now, that they go from God's wisdom as foolishness to establishing their lifestyle in an ungodly lifestyle to now being something that mocks and actually comes against God, comes against Jesus Christ, comes against his purposes, comes against who he is. That's what it talks about when we're talking about now, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's what he said. You're established in those things. Now, Psalms 103, 3 and 4 says, for the wicked boast of his soul's desire, and the greedy person curses and shows disrespect to the Lord. The wicked is in his haughtiness, does not seek him. There's no God in all his schemes. So we go, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Thank you, Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I got it right. Did I mess it up? No, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. Aren't you glad that God has brought you out of that? Aren't you glad he's brought you into his righteousness? Aren't you glad that he's brought you into rest and peace? Aren't you glad that he's brought you into his lifestyle, into his goodness, into his grace and purpose? Amen. Amen. So what's the next thing? So he says that. So he says those things. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So what's that mean for you and I today? So abiding in his word, and let's talk about that. So he says these are the ways that do not bring blessing. This is the way that actually brings deception. But he says, let me show you what actually brings life. And I said it before, if there is not a revelation, an understanding, or if there's going to be any kind of a move of God, it has to start with the importance of his word. Amen. If God broke out with just powerful miracles and everything, it's fine. But if we don't have his word abiding in us, it would become a disaster. Amen. You got to have that established word in you on Monday morning, don't you? Amen. Amen. So God's blessing always starts with his word. Remember, I don't want to live from miracle to miracle. I love God's miracle. I want to live in his blessing day to day in my life, right? So God's blessing always starts with his word. Abiding in his word is the key to walking in blessing. But it says, but his delight, this is how we could read this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. But let me say this. You could say this. I thought the law could not save me. I thought the power of sin was in the law. Well, it is. Let me just start read real quick. Romans 7, 7 through 9. Blessed is the man that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So stick with me a few more minutes. Amen. Stick with me a little bit more. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Romans 7, 7 through 9 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, far from it. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law. But when the commandment came, sin came to life and I died. So a lot of people think, well, this law is going to keep me from sinning. It's going to make me a good boy. On the contrary, it'll actually produce sin in your life because your flesh in itself cannot behave. It cannot follow the law. There is no grace. There's no power in following the law. But he says here, I wouldn't have known what coveting was if I hadn't heard that message, thou shalt not covet. And he goes on to say that when I found out it said, thou shalt not covet, every type of coveting came alive in me. And then he goes on saying, what am I going to do? So if grace through faith sets me free from the power of sin through the law. See, the Ten Commandments aren't my downfall anymore, condemnation. They now are an inspiration. Can I show you? If you'll put that up, Bill, let me show you how I look at the Ten Commandments now. Have no other gods. I realize that there's no way wherewith I can have my sins washed away but through Jesus Christ. Do you believe with that? Then you believe in the commandment number one. If you can be saved by any other way but through the blood of Jesus Christ, no, there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It says, do not make an idol of any likeness. Well, we don't have no idols. We may not fashion idols, but a lot of people have idols in their life. It's their pursuit. It's not God. It's money. It's pleasure. It's sex. It's this or that. They have an idol in their life that's not God. They pursue something. They're pursuing something that's going to fill that void in their life. So I agree that the only void that can be filled, that can fill my heart, is the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that? Then you agree with that second commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Well, I realize his name is holy. It's righteous. It's pure. I don't go around saying GD anymore. Man, his name is the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is above, his name is above all names. And so I don't use his name in vain. He's my Savior. See, at the name of Jesus, demons are cast out. In the name of Jesus, miracles happen. But we hear people mocking his name by, whether it be on TV or whatever, always saying, Jesus Christ. Mocking his name. I don't mock my Savior's name. Man, he saved me. So when I say I don't take the name of the Lord in vain, yeah, I can agree with that. I agree with that. Remember the Sabbath? Well, his spirit lives in me. I now walk in his rest. I don't have a special day for Sabbath rest. When we were reading in John chapter 5, one of the main reasons they wanted to kill Jesus because he was doing miracles on the Sabbath. And what he said to them, when I was reading, it was like, wow, Jesus says, my Father's working right now, and I am working also. God is working in me right now. God is working in you regardless of the day of the week it is. I want to walk in his rest of who I am in him every day of the week. I don't want it to just be on Saturday. I don't want it to be just on Sunday. Remembering the Sabbath that Jesus has brought me rest. Hallelujah. I can agree with that. Honor your father and mother. Well, let me just take you to, I didn't say it. It was in Ephesians chapter 6 where he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, for this will give you long life. Who said that? The Apostle Paul. Man, if there's anything that we need to learn or need in society today is honoring our mother and father. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will say to you, hey, honor your parents. Forgive your parents of past wounds. Forgive your father of past wounds. And honor your mother and father, even if they're gone. It brings health to you, not to them. It brings health to you. Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 6, I did not. You shall not commit adultery. Are we okay with that? Do you agree with that one? Okay. He writes his law within our hearts according to Hebrews and the book of Ezekiel. He takes that and writes it within our hearts. You shall not commit adultery. And then he talks further on about sexual purity. Sexual purity is important. We need that in the church like never before. God made sexual relationships for a husband and wife. Anything outside of that, I can show you scripturally over and over again where it's not pleasing to the Lord. I don't care where you are with your relationship, that is not pleasing to the Lord. Paul says, hey, get married. What I love is that he says, I've removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. All the things, my past sins, he's washed away. He's washed away. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us walking in sexual purity. Amen? You shall not steal. Can we agree with that? You leave my stuff alone, I'll leave your stuff alone. You shall not bear false witness, slandering people for our own good. Man, in the business world, that can be prevalent. Hopefully not even with neighbors. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbors. This is the thing is, your neighbor's stuff, your neighbor's wife. Hey, God has blessed us all. He wants to provide for us. He wants us to look to him for all his provision. We don't have to covet anything else. So when I look at these things now, I don't look at it as I used to look at it and say, man, I fall short. I'm not pleasing to God. No, on the other hand, I'm saying, God, thank you for the work you're doing in my heart. That there cannot save me. But I want every aspect of that working in my heart by the grace of God, by the grace and the love of God. I don't look at that anymore with condemnation because he wrote his law upon my heart. He's leading and guiding me. I belong to him. I belong to him. I can agree with those things in grace and know that he's working those things with me without any condemnation at all. Does anybody agree with that? And for many years, I had trouble as God was revealing grace and everything because I knew the law, I knew the condemnation, but I didn't know how, as an example, this would fit in my life because under grace, I agreed with every one of them. But now I realize it's the Spirit that's doing it in me. I don't know how long it's been since I looked at those. A long time. I probably haven't looked at the Ten Commandments in years, but I know all about them. I know all about his goodness. And the ungodly is the one who needs to hear what's right or wrong. There's still a right or wrong under grace. There's still a right or wrong. He's the one that changes us. Amen? Amen and amen. So grace through faith sets me free from the power of sin and the law. I love Galatians. So showing those overheads, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You can't keep it by your strength. Having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How do you receive his Holy Spirit? Church, it's through faith. It's not by any of your endeavors, any of your working hard to do what's right or wrong. It is only by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and saying, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. If it's going to come from a list of do's and don'ts, then a lot of us are in trouble, because a lot of us have already tried through our own strength to try to please God, and it did not work. But when you receive his Holy Spirit by faith, and you believe he's the way, the truth, and life, then his Spirit would begin to work in you to grow you in Christ. Amen? It's this promise of the Holy Spirit that leads to meditate day and night. What are we meditating on? I don't have this thing now where I got to be constantly meditating on the Scripture. No, the Scripture, I'm finding out, is always working on me. It's just going through my mind. Praying in the Spirit under my breath. Thanking him that I belong to him. Thank him for every wisdom of every little decision in my life. Saying, Lord, thank you for opening doors. Thank you for closing doors. Thank you for all that you're doing. I find myself, the word meditating, automatically meditating and working through my mind and coming out of my spirit, man. That's what my meditation is. See, he's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Father. He's a good, good Father. I can't help but think upon him. I can't help but think about his goodness. I can't help but think about his purposes. I can't help but think about my children and what God's doing in their lives and so on. I can't help it, because the Spirit of God has a hold on me, always working within me by his power. Hallelujah. His goodness, what are you meditating? You know, his goodness, his forgiveness, his victory, his power in my life, his direction in my life, his provision, his holiness, my loved ones that need help. His word just keeps washing over me all day and through the evening, just thinking about him, thinking about his goodness, not under any pressure, not any expectation that I'm not doing enough, but knowing that only in him am I righteous, and then all that stuff starts coming naturally by his Spirit. The Spirit begins to work in me. Amen? So this is how you can say it. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but blessed is a man that standeth in the way of righteousness. He is my righteousness. And sitteth in the seat of the faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful, saints, in our lives. Regardless of what the world does or the direction I can show the world, I can still say he's faithful. You can trust in what you want. But as for me and my house, we're going to trust in the Lord. See, the word tells us who we are in Christ. The word tells us who we are becoming in Christ. The word tells us where we are headed in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then when you read that, then when you realize who he is, and then this scripture 3 says, and he shall be planted by, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Godly counsel. Standing in the way of godliness. Seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. This is awesome. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's that blessing. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's not just talking about money. Whatsoever he doeth, my marriage to prosper. At work to prosper. Whatever God has me put my hand to prosper. God wants us to prosper. But what I don't want to do is scratch my head and wonder what's going on when I've been rooted and grounded in ungodly counsel, ungodly lifestyles, ungodly mocking and wondering why things aren't going the way they should be. No, God gives us wisdom to how to walk in his righteousness. Amen. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think of a tree. I think of that, I was thinking of the Denny's place where they are down in Kirkland. And so outlying area around them, it's desert, kind of deserty, I think. But they have this, like, river that just runs through their property. Like in Arizona, it would be considered a river. And there's all this life around it. There's all this life. It's teeming with life. There's all kinds of different trees. There's all kinds of different bushes. There's all this life. And around it in the dry areas, they're like, there ain't no trees. And so this river of life is by the Holy Spirit. See, the Lord wants us being fed by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants us to bring forth fruit. Fruit is the things that God has placed in your life that other people can enjoy as well. It's not just talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but God has given purposes and giftings in your life that produce fruit in different times of season for others to take advantage. You can refresh others. You can feed others. It's amazing how God does it. He does not just do it by the Holy Spirit in me. He does it through bodyhood and other people. The fruit in our lives, other people can enjoy. Hallelujah. And it says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. No, his leaf also shall not wither. So it doesn't matter what season of life you're in. God wants us to have life. God wants us to have life. You could be going through a rough season, but you're still planted. That doesn't change where you're planted. You're still planted by the waters. You may be going through a different season and different fruits going to show up in your life, but you're still planted by those waters. And your leaf shall not wither. Think of Ezekiel 47, the Holy Spirit comes out of the temple. It's just a little stream. And as it, you know, and as it begins to move, it begins to widen and deepen. See, God begins to work in our lives. And as we move in Him, He wants those waters to widen and deepen. And He wants it to teem with life for other people. In God, it's amazing how it works the opposite. You know, a river usually starts real big, and then if it's not added to, it begins to shrink. The depth begins to diminish, and it'll even go down to a trickle. But from the out of the throne of God, what seems like not much, the Holy Spirit in us, as we grow in Him, begins to widen and deepen. That's what God wants for in every area of our lives. Do you love Him this morning? As the music team comes, see, the revelation of God's word to me is all predicated on His love for me. The ungodly, if we continue, says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. It says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Doesn't matter what the ungodly look like right now. Man, there's no life there. Let me just say this, that He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. The Lord could speak to you. This, you know, when you walk in His love, that God can speak to you with His counsel and say, hey, there's a few things I'm doing here. God's making some adjustments in His people that we no longer listen to the counsel of the ungodly. We no longer standeth in the way of sinners with pride in Jesus Christ. We are no longer sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. We belong to Him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what anybody around us thinks. It doesn't matter what political organizations think. I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I will not stand in the way of sinners. I will not sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. And whatever I do shall prosper because I am walking in the counsel of Him. Amen. Can we stand up together? Maybe just say, Lord, I just say today, Lord, I am gonna walk in Your counsel by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm gonna walk in Your counsel. Lord, I'm not gonna be deceived or by anything. Lord, I'm not gonna walk in any deception because You're gonna counsel me, Lord. And some of you right now, the Lord could be counseling. I don't know. It's the Holy Spirit that has to speak to you. Sometimes people will be walking in some areas of depression, and that's because of the counsel. It's nothing to do with God. It's the counsel that they've been walking in. It's allowing an area of the enemy to have an inroad in their life, so they're walking in something that is not godly, and it's allowing the enemy to wreak havoc in an area. I would say today that you allow the Lord to counsel you and speak to your heart. I would say allow the Lord to counsel and speak to your heart. Amen. Father, if you feel comfortable, can you just raise your hand and say, Lord, thank You for Your counsel. Lord, thank You for making me a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Thank You, Lord, for the fruit being produced in my life. Lord, thank You for fruit being produced in my life. Thank You that my leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever I do shall prosper. Father, we just thank you and we worship you. How we love you this morning, Lord. We thank you for speaking to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for uprooting things that hold us back. And Father, planting the word of truth, by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I rebuke any condemnation today, Lord. No condemnation. But a loving Father saying, I want everything that you do to prosper. Allow me to work in your life. Allow me to bless you. Allow me to reveal my goodness to you. Allow me to speak into your life and touch some areas of your life that I'd like to make a change to. So, Lord, we thank you that we're people that are open to that. Thank you, Father God, for your love in our lives. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your peace. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for like a seed just germinating in us, speaking to us. Father, we thank you for freedom in your house. Father, we thank you for freedom in your house. Father, I declare freedom in your house, in this house. Father, we love you. We praise you. If you need prayer as we close into worship, if you need prayer, please come up. We'd love to pray for you. If you need to give your life to Jesus, I would love to introduce you to your Maker who loves you. Love to introduce you to Jesus. If you just need prayer for any situation in your life, I encourage you to come up. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Do you love him this morning? Do you love the Word of God? Hallelujah. We bless and honor you this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.